Thank you, Rick. I'm going to take a second here to get set up and situated. Hopefully I did that right. And let's see. I want to thank each one of you for being here. I want to thank those who are watching on the live stream for your attendance and your time. I know all of our time are important to us, and we have very few hours each week to spend and to choose to spend it here. I know that your Lord is pleased with you. I'm grateful for your attention and time here. There we go. Okay. Get this going. Okay. If this doesn't work, it's on Milo because he gave me a pep talk on how to do this earlier. So, Milo gets all the blame if this doesn't work. It's already not working. Milo, what did you do to me? It's working, but trying to get my notes on there and not show you all my scriptures before I actually use them. So let me try this again. Ugh. Okay. Please show me the notes. Good grief. I really struggle with this. My son is embarrassed right now. I apologize to my son. You know, this is something that Milo said to me earlier, and that obviously means nothing to me. So it's really, I think you're seeing this is not Milo's fault. This is the speaker's fault, purely. Let's try this. No, DA. My friend. I can't get my notes to show up.
Yeah. I don't know. I honestly don't know how to do this.
Okay. Well, this is going to be great. I came up here earlier, just so everyone knows. I came up here earlier and had this all set up, and it was working great.
Richard Thomas, there you go.
It keeps going back to the presentation.
Okay.
See what I mean?
Yeah. Just talking about
Look at him.
Okay. Can't even plug it in. Okay. I think that was it.
So if we, okay. Yeah, so now put it in presenter mode. We'll see what happens. It may not do anything.
Okay.
If this doesn't work, it's
yeah. Yes, I'm struggling. I apologize to everybody. So.
No, it's just frozen up there.
Just frozen.
Yeah. Never done it from an iPad.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm going to replug it.
Okay.
It's up to you whether you want your notes or not.
This really was intended to be a visual presentation. But that is not going very well, so let me. Let's try this. There's my notes. Some point I just have to abandon. There we go. Okay, thank you. Thank you for being patient. Thank you, DA and Milo. Again, thank you for being here. The preparation, believe it or not, for this sermon began long before now. Maybe not the slideshow, but I didn't intend for this sermon to be on the same day as my son's baptism, but it feels appropriate. It feels entirely appropriate because if you can remember your own baptism and you can remember the newness and the excitement that you felt and the zeal that you had in your heart and how that eventually fades. And it fades into everyday life, and it moves into what God intends for us all, and that is a personal relationship with Him. God was with you on the day that you were born into this world, and He will be with you on the day that you leave this earth. And so what do we do with the time in between? What do we do with that time that He's given us to spend with Him, to develop that relationship, to come to know Him better? If I was there next to you on the day that you were baptized, if I could go in a time machine and I would say, how are you going to spend your days, the rest of your days, now that you have been baptized, you've taken upon you the name of Jesus Christ, how are you going to spend your days? I think that you would say, I'm going to serve the Lord with all of my heart. I think each one of us would have a comment, you know, some manner that way, some version of that. And I know that if I was sitting next to you, that I would believe you, that you would mean it, that you meant it. So I'm here to ask you now that it's been, for some of us, a year. Some people, it's been a decade. For me, it's been over 3 decades. For some here, it's been 50, 60, 70 years since you made that commitment. How is it going? How is that commitment going for you in your life? Have you lived up to that pure intention that you felt the day of your baptism? Your heart was clean, your sins were washed away, and you were ready to serve the Lord the rest of your life? Raise your hand if you've been able to do it flawlessly ever since. Trevor raised his hand. We've got one amongst us. I don't think he heard me. I think you need to turn it up a little bit, Trev. I didn't see any other hands, which was the right answer. But the good news for you, good news for my son, who tomorrow is going to stand in need of forgiveness, is that God knew that this would happen. He knew that after we entered those waters that we would need to be forgiven again and again and again. And I have to reread this scripture so many times. Mosiah 11:139, yea, as often as my people repent, will I forgive them their trespasses against me. I have to reread that and let the Lord convince me of that far too often in my life. As often as I come to Him with real intent, He's going to forgive me. My wife warned me about sniffling. I want to apologize. I got sick last week. And so I have a deep rattle in my chest. I have a runny nose. I have all the symptoms, so I apologize if that becomes a distraction, worse than my poor start to the service was. But this is a truth that we have to absorb and truly believe to help us overcome the guilt and shame that comes to all of us in our life. Read this passage this morning. Before his baptism, I said, out of 2 Nephi 13:24-27, for the gate by which you should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in the straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, and ye have entered in by the gate. Ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son, and ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and the Son unto the fulfilling of the promise which He hath made, that if ye enter in by the way, ye should receive. And now, my beloved brethren, after ye have gotten into this straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Not a new question that you've been asked from the pulpit before, right? Is all done? Have you done everything that you were called to do? When I was reading that, I was struck by some of the verses there. And the verses that lead up to it says that we are to proceed with unshaken faith, that we've come to this point with unshaken faith, and we're to press forward with what? A perfect brightness of hope. And a love of God and of all men. Here I am 30 plus years later, I made that commitment. And I'm here to tell you that I failed in that commitment. I have not maintained a perfect brightness of hope. My faith has been shaken in my life. I have not maintained a love of my God and all men. How are you today? If I asked Trevor, my cousin Trevor, he'd probably say hungry. And I don't mean how are you feeling today. I mean, how are you today in your relationship with your God, with Jesus Christ, the one you made that covenant with? If you were to put a number on it, if we were to quantify where you're at on a scale from 1 to 10, and 1 being the worst, 10 being the best, 10 being walking side by side as Christ did, 1 being, I don't feel his presence at all. Maybe I don't even want to feel his presence. Where are you? If you had to put a hard number on it, where would you say that you're at? I want you to think to yourself. I want you to evaluate, quick evaluation, and come up with a number. And I'm not going to make you tell me, but I want you to say it to yourself. 4? Are you at an 8? Are you strong? Are you as strong as you've ever been? A more direct question, are you satisfied with that number? Life for most of us, if we're blessed, is filled with many years in our lives. And, you know, the years are made up of days after days and become weeks, becomes months, and routines and time commitments and distractions fill our lives. And we don't often enough, if you're like me, don't often enough evaluate that relationship. Really consider and examine myself and wonder and consider, where am I at? Where am I at with the Lord? How is our relationship? How is it going? It's easy to let time slip. We do this in our other relationships in our lives. We do it in our marriages. We let days fill up days after days, and we go through the routine of the work schedule and the school schedules and taking care of kids and all the time commitments in our lives, and we don't attend to that relationship like we should. And I know each of us in our marriages have found ourselves in a place where it could be better, where we want it to be better, and it deserves our time, it deserves our attention. Our relationships with our other family members, with your siblings, with your children, with your parents. It's human nature to let things slip. So are you satisfied today with that relationship with the Lord? Would the just baptized version of yourself be satisfied with where you're at? When you wake up day to day, have you decided it's good enough? Brother Dan asked me for the title of my sermon, and that's what I would say. I would say, good enough. Did you wake up today with the attitude that your relationship with your Heavenly Father is good enough? And this has been on my mind for a while. I mentioned a couple weeks ago how I've got longer drives to work now, and I found myself zoning out for stretches of the road, and you know, worrisome that can be. But I've also noticed that my car gets dirty a lot easier the longer that I drive, obviously, right? But you should know that historically that I'm someone who loves a clean car. I used to obsessively clean my car. And I still enjoy it, enjoy the process of it. I enjoy washing and waxing and detailing and, you know, black shiny tires and getting all the brake dust off the wheels and just the gleam and water beating up and running off of it, and I just enjoy a clean car. But I'll tell you what, on these drives, there's bugs. There's bugs flying around, and they'll hit the bumper of my car and the windshield, and start to get a little speckled, and then starts to get a little spotty. And old me would have cleaned it immediately, would have made it a daily habit. 44-year-old me doesn't seem to care as much. I let it slip a little, I let it slip a little bit more and slip a little bit more, and then all of a sudden, it's downright gross. And I will step back and I'll look at it and I think, how did I let it get to this point? And it occurs to me that the satisfaction of a clean car feels much better than a dirty car feels worse. Does that make sense? The slow progression to a dirty car, the slow movement away from our God, doesn't feel as severe, doesn't feel as bad as being close to Him feels great. And so it's in our human nature, it's in our nature to let things slide and slip until the gap is widened so far, until you can't even see out of that windshield. Tricky part is that transition and recognizing when it's happening. I would say, look at your lives and look within yourselves and examine yourselves to see, have I let things slip? Have I let things slide a little bit? Have I let that relationship kind of sit on the back burner? And you may look at yourself, and I do this, and I think, there's really no gross iniquity in my life. I'm really not doing anything that is so bad. And maybe you can say that with yourself. But I want to read the verse out of 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, his son men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So he's willing to offer salvation to all of us, but that call to repentance isn't just for those who haven't been baptized. It's for all of us who have been baptized. There's still a need for repentance. And you today sitting here, and you can't find anything glaring in your life, you still have something that you need to repent of. If there is a need, if there's a commandment to repent, that means there's something to repent of. So when you look inside of yourself, can you find something? Can you find something to repent of today? Is there something that the Spirit will bring to your mind as I'm talking? Can you see it? Do you recognize it? Are you willing to call it what it is? See it for what it is? Is that thing making you hesitate? Whether you are ready to let go of it? D.A. had a great sermon detailing the reasons and excuses that we use for not repenting. And I'm going to give a quick rundown. And he was preaching, and I thought I could just stand up here today and replay his sermon and basically be mine in a nutshell. But why are we not closer to our God today? Sin, obviously sin. And the reasons that we don't want to give that up, because we're in denial that we have anything to be repentful for. Because we're not quite ready to give it up. Because it's hard. It takes humility. It takes submitting our pride. Coming to Him. Because it's not fun. When the words of the Lord cut to our heart and they convict us and they let us know where we have fallen short and where we haven't met the mark, it feels like reproach. And we can tend to shy away from that. One of the answers that was given was, life is good. One of our brothers said, life is good. You know, things are going pretty well. Things are going pretty well in my life. If things were worse, if I had a need for repentance, the Lord would make it clear. I would be suffering. And I'm pretty comfortable right now. I've become very complacent. Another reason is sometimes we are blind to our responsibility and our need to ask for forgiveness. When I was thinking of this, I was thinking of excuses that I've given. And one of the things that Satan has convinced me of, one of the lies that he's convinced me of, is that my sins are part of my identity. That they're inseparable from who I really am. And I was trying to think of examples for that, so I'm thinking, you know, I had breakfast with a friend. He's a former coworker, and he is a good resource for me. And he does not belong to this church, but he has a strong faith. And I was telling him, oh, my life is so busy right now. My life is so busy, and I was struggling with guilt for not being of more service, not doing the things that I want to do, and getting to a point where I'm like, well, Lord, you know my intentions. You know my intentions. You know my desires are there. And so if you want me to do more, to give more, you allow me the time to do it. I'm a hard worker, and there's nothing wrong with that. You've made me this way. And I've used that attitude, that identity that I have of myself, as an excuse. And he sat there and he listened to me tell him all this, and he said, I'm just going to caution you and remind you that there's always time to serve. You say, brother, I have a strong conviction in my beliefs. And God wants us to be strong in our beliefs, and he wants us to stand firm on them. And the world would be a better place if more people had a strong conviction in their beliefs and they stood up for them. In fact, I share my beliefs with people, and I'm willing to tell them when they're wrong. And I know it sounds silly when we say it out loud, but does that not happen? Are we not willing to tell people when they're wrong? Are we not willing to offend? And so we use this identity of a strong belief and a strong faith as an excuse. Excuse me. That is our responsibility, and we have a need to repent of that. So whatever part of your makeup that you've decided, this is part of who I am, and it's keeping you separated from the Lord, he didn't make you that way. That was not his intent. My cousin Jeff, in a recent sermon, said, you know, we're good at telling people what to believe, but we're not great at telling them why. And so, putting the sermon together, and I feel like, yeah, you know, I'm doing this. I'm telling you what you should believe. You should want to be closer to the Lord. It should be your desire, but why? Why should it be your desire? And I know that you know this. But we need to be reminded of these scriptures that speak to us, of the Lord's attitude towards each one of us. Psalm 139, this gets me every time. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset behind me and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain to it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, and whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am I not grieved with those that rise against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Why should we want to be closer to our God? Because he's already close to us. Do you feel it? He is everywhere. At all times, there is nowhere that you can be that he will not be there with you. He is our only source of joy and peace and contentment. He is perfect all the time, which means that everything that he does for you at all times is perfect. He doesn't just settle for good enough. If you were married to a spouse who had this level of commitment to you, would you not strive to return that level of commitment to them? Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. He will withhold nothing from us. So this is hard because it doesn't always feel like we're getting everything that we need, right? Lord, I need more time to serve you, to be of service. No, I don't. He's given me the time that I need. And if I am not doing it, it is my choice. It is not out of a lack of what he hasn't given me. If you feel like you are lacking, come to him. Come to him in sincerity. And he will show you where that strength is. He will show you where to find what you need. This friend of mine was also, we were talking, and he was sharing this verse and how he's been dwelling on it. And he admitted to me, and humble person. And I never would have thought I would have heard this from him. But he said, you know what? I would really like to be rich. He said, since I was young, I just had this idea that being rich would be great. He's like, I don't know what I would do with all of it. I believe that I would use it wisely. Believe that I have sincere intentions. And yet the Lord has decided to not bless me in that way. And he said, you know, I was consider this, and one day it occurred to me that I sound just like my 5-year-old son who wants 500 video games. And Dad, if I just had all these games, I could have all my friends over and we would have a great time and I would use it wisely. And it sounds just as ridiculous as me asking God to be rich. He's given me everything that I need, every good gift that he has looked at in my life and said, this is exactly what you need at this point in time, he has given me. And that's where you are today, right now. He's given you everything that you need. It's this question from a show that I love to watch. And in this scene, there is a worker at a rival paper company. And this man right here is trying to recruit him to his company. And he's trying to get out the door, and he's trying to get away. And he stops him, and he asks him a question. He looks him in the eyes right there, and he says, so let me ask you a question. Do you want your life to be better, to be worse, or to stay the same? He has his attention. He says, do you want more freedom, less freedom, or to stay the same? And every time I see this scene, I think, God is asking me that every day. He offers me this every single day for my life to be better, for me to have more freedom. And often I choose just to say the same, because it's good enough. He wants more than for us to just have salvation in the next life. He wants us to have an active, vibrant, deep connection to him every day in this life. Satan will try to convince you it's the opposite. And he does this in the world. And young people, you have to recognize this. He will try to convince you that a life of service and commitment to him means you're giving something up. You're giving up freedom. You're giving up choice. You're giving up happiness. And it's a lie. It was a lie from the beginning. He convinced Eve, you'll not die. You will be as gods. It's the same lie today as it was then. The only chance that we have of a better life, of more freedom, of more happiness every day is to draw closer to our God, to not settle for good enough. C.S. Lewis says, we are not necessarily doubting that God will do the best for us. We are wondering how painful the best will turn out to be. And so we pause and we stop where we're at and say the next step will be too painful. What I'm going to have to give up is too painful. But when have you ever regretted coming close to your God? When have you ever regretted that choice? Whatever you sacrificed for him, was it not worth it? This was a fear of mine for a long time. My Aunt Michelle gave a testimony one time, and it felt bleak at the time that she gave it. But she said she came to a realization, and that in this life, pain is guaranteed. Pain is guaranteed. And so we can choose to have pain on our own. And we can choose to live through that pain and be comforted by the only source of comfort in this world. We can have peace through the pain. Choosing to do other is called surviving, not thriving. We want to thrive in this life. God wants us to have the best life we can possibly have. And in order to do that, we can't become complacent. We can't settle. We can't wake up and say, I'm good enough today. Today I'm good enough. I don't have the energy. I don't have the time. I'm sniffing. Sorry. We are all vessels for God's glory. God uses our lives to bring glory to himself. The way that he uses my life to bring glory to him is different than the way that he'll use Jose's life. You know, the world wants to convince our young people that they are so special and they are so unique and they can do things that no one else can do. And I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but that's not true. There are people out there that are just like you. We all feel the same temptations. We all feel the same weaknesses. God has made you different so that he can be glorified in your life differently than he does in the next. What I go through, if I submit myself to the Lord, the way that he is praised, the way that he is honored through my circumstances are different than yours. And if we hold back our time, we hold back our talents and our resources, if we hold back our praise, we are withholding the honor that is rightfully his. And we are limiting our happiness because our happiness is dependent on glorifying him and not settling for good enough. So I used a song at when I was thinking of our brother Buzz. I gave a testimony, and it's still been on my mind, and it's so appropriate for this message. A song called "Play Me" by Neil Diamond. And so it was that I came to travel upon a road that was thorned and narrow. Another place, another grace would save me. You are the sun, I am the moon. You are the words, I am the tune. Play me. Submission. Submitting to our Heavenly Father, letting him use us to glorify himself. My last slide, my last thought for the day. And I hope that I brought you something to think of. Hope that I've brought you today that you would reflect on yourself and you would ask yourself, am I settling for good enough? Have I become complacent? Or am I willing to let the Lord use me? Another C.S. Lewis quote, there is but one good, that is God. Everything else is good when it looks to him and bad when it turns from him. So it's my prayer that you would turn towards our Heavenly Father each and every day, that you would let him use you, that you would let him change you, that you would be willing to sacrifice the idols in your life, give up parts of yourself that you feel like you can't let go of, that our relationship would thrive, and that he would be glorified in our actions. Thank you.